maybe to one that might be holier for him. I don't know. You know, part of the Christmas story, and probably the most famous two verses in the world, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I wish that that were the purpose behind Christmas. That's not what Christmas is about anymore. Christmas is about going into debt for things that people really don't want, don't need, won't use. And when I look at what's going on in the world today, I wonder how God could love any of us. Because of the awful things that we're doing to one another. And yet, he provided for our salvation. As promised, as he promised before the earth ever began. And how many of us would have done as God did and bring a Savior into the world in the form of a baby? Think about that. A baby. And yet that's how he chose to. He would be he'd be born as a baby, and he would live a life as unique as any life ever lived. And in John, again, John 1:14, it tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This child would appear like any other child, except he would be without sin. Luke 2:40 tells us, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Who would send a baby to be the Savior of the world but God? He thinks different than we do, doesn't he? His thoughts are not our thoughts. And that baby would take 33 years growing up and fulfilling all the things that God said he needed to fulfill. I think it would be a good thing for us tonight to look at some of the blessings that we experience because Jesus came to earth one night as a baby. Father, as we look in your word, may your Holy Spirit work in all of our hearts. May we not restrict him, Father. May he have his perfect way. And Father, may your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, be lifted up. And Father, we will praise you for what you do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And he began his ministry with being baptized. We all know this. This is common knowledge for all of us. He began his ministry by being baptized, and then he went from there to be tempted of the devil. And was it yesterday at your home that you read some of that? I'm trying to think. Someone in the last day or two, I've heard them speak about the temptation of the Lord. We read him in Matthew 3, 13 through 17 about it. Let's turn there, Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the very next thing that we read about in the book of Matthew in chapter 4 is the temptation. Matthew 4, 1. Then was Jesus head up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up unto exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10, Then saith Jesus to him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Who would ever imagine that that little babe in the manger would begin his atonement for sin, the sins of the world, with baptism and temptation? But this was necessary so that he could show us the way to the will of the Father, which is what it's all about. You see, the temptations that Jesus bore there that day are the same kind of temptations that you and I bear. Only we succumb. He didn't. The response of Jesus is recorded as an example to you and I. It's to how we can overcome temptation from outside sources. But that's not our problem, folks. Our problem is the temptation that comes from an inside source. That's the one I have problems with. And you probably do too. But that's the one that Jesus came to fix and to take care of. Jesus' Father was holy, sinless God. So Jesus didn't have the same sin nature that you and I do, because we are human. We have human fathers. Our human fathers gave us the sin nature. It was part of what we inherited from them. Part of the Christmas gift that Jesus brought was the grace of God. John 1, 16 and 17, we read it. I'm sorry, John 1, 16 and 17. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Oh, the gifts that were concealed in that little baby there in the manger. Gifts for all of us. Gifts for all of mankind. Just imagine the grace of God coming into the world in the form of a baby. Could anyone have understood what lay ahead for all of mankind when I looked into that manger? And the gifts didn't end with grace. There are many more. Although through Jesus we are justified. You might ask, why is that so important? Romans 3, 23 and 24. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that he brought us is what justifies our very existence. Otherwise, when we committed the first sin, God should have condemned us to hell. And people, we're not there tonight. We're living in the grace of God. We have all met together here because of the grace of God that has brought us here. Titus 3:7 says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We don't see yet what God has for us. As we approach this Christmas season, as we think of Christmas, the birth of God's Son, we don't realize all that awaits us is a part of his ministry to us and what he has accomplished here. No one at the time of Jesus' birth had any idea of the magnitude of what that child would provide the world of men. They had no idea of the gifts that he would bestow upon all of those who were willing to believe. Just think of what men are depriving themselves of by not believing, by refusing to accept the grace of God. And yet, we can't get proud because you and I were one of those at one time. Before the grace of God was poured out into our life by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 1 through 10, Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Folks, Christmas is all about the grace of God being poured out into our lives. And I can't think of anything that explains it better than the very Word of God. If we let the Holy Spirit take that Word and work in our hearts and in our minds. I want you to notice that this epistle, Ephesians, we've been there twice today at least. this epistle written to the Ephesians was not just written to the church, but it was written to all of those, you and I are included, all of those who are the faithful in Christ here on this earth. Because it was written to the world, it is written to us by our loving Heavenly Father. There is a day and a time coming when we, all the saints, will be gathered in Jesus. That time is coming. And something to think about tonight. And the minute I say this, some of you will think in the wrong direction. So let me sort of define it. Think about where we are in history. Think about what God is doing right now. We look at the society that we live in, and I get discouraged. There's all kinds of evil and wickedness going on, and the people who are supposed to be setting examples are not. In fact, they are the ones who are so wicked. And yet, because of this, this could very well be some of our last Christmases. Not because we're going to die and go to be with the Lord, but there is the possibility that He may come back for His church. And we need to expect that. If this were to be your last Christmas, the last time you had a chance to speak to loved ones, to share with loved ones your thoughts, your desires, would it change Christmas for you? As we enter this holiday season, we have colleges and universities that refuse to use the term Christmas for fear of offending the Muslims and the agnostics and the atheists and any other group who is busily and happily on their way to hell. They do not prompt or permit decorations or anything that might express or impact for Jesus about His birth upon the world. We took up a missionary offering a little while ago. And that will go to some missionaries who are already out there laboring in the field. Some of them in countries where they don't have Christmas. Wouldn't that be strange? For it to be just another day of the week. People go to work, they go about their business, they don't know anything about Him. And here we meet together, anticipating the celebration of His birth and His growing up and His ministry. All over the world, all over this country, there are those who deny Jesus Christ as Lord. And yet, it was not like that 100 years ago. It was not like that 200 years ago. And what does God say about those who deny Him? Think of all the smart people, college professors teaching their students, there is no God. Now, many of us went to school before that was the norm. Not all of us. Some of you are a little younger than that. I remember one of my professors who said if a student believed in God, he could not pass his course. And that was the truth. Didn't matter what the student did, he would not approve it. Today, that's pretty much the society we live in. And here we are. We're getting ready to celebrate Christmas. And they're denying it. I remember reading somewhere, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Wow, have we got a bunch of fools for college professors. How foolish is it to deny that God has brought each of us to this place in our lives where we anticipate celebrating the birth of our Savior? How foolish is it for an institution of higher learning to deny the existence of God when the whole creation manifests his existence? Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We're talking about people, mankind, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What has Christmas, what has the Christian to do at this particular time of year in order to fulfill the Great Commission? We have a job to do today, folks. We have the same job to do tomorrow. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And that's not only the job that we have to do, but it's how we can do it. Jesus said he was getting ready to depart, to ascend into heaven, as he addressed his disciples. And in verse 18, it said, Matthew 28, 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me. That's where we get our power from. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or the age. Amen. This is the time of year when we may fulfill this. We're anticipating the birth of a baby, celebrating that birth. That baby lived 33 years, and then he made this statement on leaving this earth to join his heavenly Father to intercede for each one of us. That's our commission. That's what we should be doing in these weeks to come. You know, we can't do this quite as God stated it. He said, go ye into all the world. Well, some of us can't. If you don't live in China, you can't go to the Chinese and minister. And if you don't plan on going to China, you're not going to be able to minister there anyway. But, there's that little three-letter word, but, you may know someone who would like to go to China, who feels that God has called them to go to China. and you could have a part in getting them there. You say, well, you know, I don't know anybody like that. Stop for a minute and think. Anybody know anyone by the name of Ed De Los Reyes? He was right here a few weeks ago, November 19th. He and his wife and their family are desiring to go to China. They're there now, yes. And any one of us could have a part in that. That would be our way of fulfilling, help fulfill the Great Commission. You see, God makes a way, and part of our job as a believer is to find a way. Think about that. God has asked you to do something. There is a way that you could do something. Are you willing to find that way? God's going to provide a means of accomplishing everything that he wants you to do. When Jesus said, all power is given unto me, he has the ability to make each one of us successful for whatever God wants. Usually the most important word that a person speaks is his last words. And these were the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ before he left the earth. The Great Commission. It was our marching orders for the time that he gave us, and he has given each of us a certain amount of time here. And for those who say that they don't know what God wants them to do, you've got the Great Commission. And there's Ed De Los Reyes already there laboring. He will not experience Christmas next week. China doesn't observe Christmas. There are others who have been here, who have stood right where I am right now, and they have gone to lands like Morocco, where again you don't have Christmas. Some of the Arab countries, they're there laboring because they're doing everything they can to fulfill the Great Commission. Every one of us here tonight has received a gift. You received that gift at the moment you were saved. The Holy Spirit imparted that gift to you. No one else can fulfill that gift but you. It was given to you for you to fulfill. The Apostle Peter speaks of the gift in his first epistle in chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. When the Holy Spirit indwelled your heart, he gave you a gift. Verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, this time of year, it is especially important that each one of us use the gifts that God has given us. People are expecting you to give them something this time of year. That's the mindset our whole society is in. Okay, what am I going to get? And you know what? The interesting part is we do have something to give them. The most wonderful gift they will ever receive. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of those gifts that one size fits all. It's important that we don't let this time slip past. Because like I said, this could be our last Christmas. Now we may have a whole year and we may see another Christmas. But wouldn't it be great to fill it with the giving of that gift that we were given by our Heavenly Father? I was so excited for Brother Felber when he shared with us yesterday that Scott had trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, man. Doesn't happen nearly as often as it should, does it, brother? But that's exciting. I think back to when I got saved. You can think back to when you got saved and the excitement you experienced. As Brother Felber shared with us yesterday afternoon, how Scott wanted to tell his brother and his family, and that was my experience. I wanted to rush home and tell everybody, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know how. But you know what? There's a lot of people that do know how, seated here tonight. And so we can reach out to these people. The society around us is crumbling. And God has forewarned us that that was going to happen through many of his prophets. The basic unit of the family is being destroyed systematically through promiscuity and abortion and cohabitation without marriage. Even big government penalizes welfare recipients if they want to be married. They are not given benefits if they are married. In many locations. So they stay unmarried. Those who are supposed to provide leadership by example in our federal government have no conscience about blatantly lying or distorting the truth. But God gave us a gift that can fix that. He did that when he gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having Jesus is going to change hearts, and it's going to fix broken lives. But it must begin with those who know Christ. And people, that's us. As we celebrate the birth of that baby in Bethlehem, we need to reach out to a lost world. And we must try and share with them the most wonderful gift they will ever get. The most wonderful gift that's ever been given. You know what I'd like to suggest that we do this Christmas, each one of us? Find somebody new that you can love for Jesus. Go out of your way to find a stranger, someone you don't know, and love them for Jesus. You'll have a lot of fun doing it. You'll see fruit in their lives. You'll see what God can do if you let the Holy Spirit lead you to that person. I believe that as Christians, we can love better than anybody else in this world. That we can energize more effectively those around us for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it'll take some effort on our part. We'll have to seek someone that we've never reached before with the gospel. But God has promised us that he will help us do that. He's told us in Matthew 7:7-8. So you all know these verses. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Ask God to direct you to somebody to love for him. Seek that person. Seek an opportunity to talk to them. It could be in a grocery store. It could be anywhere. And then pursue it. Knock and see if God won't open an opportunity for you. We all know that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, is that scripture?
Yeah.
Yet we know it's true, don't we? And we have something to give. Don't miss this opportunity. We can go about it by asking God to help us find someone we can minister to. Knock on what seems to be closed doors and see if he might not open that door to you. We find a promise in Matthew 7, verse 8. It says, if you ask, you will receive. That's part of the promise. If you seek, you will find. He has promised. If you knock, it shall be opened. Don't ask or seek or knock for yourself, but for someone lost soul, and see if God doesn't help you find them. And then love that soul and see what God does with that love. That's what Christmas is really supposed to be all about for us, is our sharing what God has given us. Let's pray. Father, we do ask you that you will help each one of us find someone to love for you. Father, that you will prepare our hearts and theirs, that as we share with them about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be ready to receive it. Father, we again ask that you will take us and lead us to the door that on which we are to knock. A heart's door, perhaps. A stranger's door, perhaps. But Father, that you will use each one of us to accomplish your will for your church this week. Thank you, Father, for your great gift. We don't comprehend all that it means, but we love you, Father, because of the gift that you have given us, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to give ourselves to him, to obey him, to follow him, and Father, to serve him. And we will praise you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.